Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, it's the guys. If you like this podcast, then you should, because it's the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Oprah. Then please subscribe, rate 5 stars only, please. Leave a review and tell your friends. Before we get to today's episode, and it's a doozy. Oh, is it a doozy? Christopher Mad Dog Russo again. How are you today? I want to tell you about another phenomenal ESPN podcast with my friend Marty Smith. It is Marty Smith's America. This week, Marty will either talk to Reese Davis, Kevin Youkilis, or no one. Listen, if it's nobody, I'm available. How about that? You can download and subscribe to Marty Smith's America wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero, an icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Oprah. Thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Stanzik, it is my understanding this is the 52nd episode of Stupidity. Is that right?
That's right. How about that? Made it a year.
A year. We had a year without getting paid. I threatened to quit every day for 52 weeks, yet here we are.
Yeah, but we got a gift for you this week.
What'd you get?
I told you. Year in the books.
Right.
And you got a present.
What?
It was the goal last week to get a certain somebody on Stupidity. We failed in that mission. But a week later, we came through.
Oh, my God. You got Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
That's correct.
That's my one-year anniversary gift?
That's what you get. That's how ESPN's going to keep getting you to do this podcast. Every year, they're just going to dangle a carrot in front of you. This year, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Next year, Stephen A. Smith. Who knows? Could be anybody.
Next year, I want Mike Francesa. Okay.
And then we'll get to the Mink Man the following year. Or Bob Huesler, who's ever available.
Huesler was one of my professors at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Is that for real? Bob Huesler, I broadcast a few basketball games with him. He did Fairfield men's, women's games, and I was his color analyst.
He is such a nice guy, man.
Yeah.
Huesler. He is a professional broadcaster.
Sure,
and you're talking about a guy that five people in our audience, maybe, including the two of us, have heard of. Stupidity.
Stupidity.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, and growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskiewicz, experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference, and you guys can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting his job on ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed by how quickly great candidates were applying and found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free. It is free. You're welcome. At our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. S-T-U-P-O-D.
Stupidity.
All right, I grew up listening to this guy. If you're looking for a reason as to why I'm in this industry, the reason is right here. He's on the phone with me. This is Christopher Mad Dog Russo, one half of the gold standard in our industry, the Mike and the Mad Dog program, WFAN, growing up.
He is now hosting his own show, of course, Mad Dog Radio, Sirius XM, has his own channel. That's when you made it, Doggy. You got your own channel named after you. How about that?
Good job, Stu Gotch. Yes, indeed. Thanks to Mel Karmazin, who made breakfast, or at least he offered, back in summer of 2008. I will give you a channel if you come, and how could I say no to Mr. Karmazin? So that is one of the reasons why we are here. And obviously, the Mike and the Mad Dog, I know you grew up listening, so that tells you how old I am. But the Mike and the Mad Dog is the reason why I'm here today. The legacy of that show, no question about it.
And it's the reason I'm here today, Doggy. But I don't want to get bogged down. I don't want to go through the history of Mike and the Mad Dog. You know I love you. You know I'm a big fan. You guys, when I say you're the reason, Dog, you are the reason I got into this industry. And I am forever grateful for that. And perhaps if you like this, Doggy, we will spend a little time later on, you know, we'll spread out a little bit and we can go through some of that history. But I don't want to do it today because I know you've done it and there was a 30 for 30 about it. So that's not what I want to do today. Okay.
I appreciate that, Stu. Good job. Okay. You fire away. Lead the way and I'll follow along here.
All right. I do want to point out to you though. All right. Mike and the Mad Dog, the 30 for 30, Doggy. I didn't know if you were aware of this. The 30 for 30 that was done that I was a very small part of. And we'll get to that in just a second. Dog, originally that was my idea. I'll tell you right. That was the 30 for 30 Mike and the Mad Dog was my idea. And I pitched
was it
to
really?
The executives
I did not
at ESPN.
Know that.
Yes, I did, Dog.
So you told the ESPN people that's if you're going to do a radio 30 for 30, these two in New York are the two you should focus in on?
I said there's only one show in the history of sports radio that is worthy of a 30 for 30. It is Mike and the Mad Dog. And, Dog, when I pitched it to them, they liked the idea. They said it would be better as a short, okay? Now, a year went by, and no one ever got back to me on it. And all of a sudden, they're making the 30 for 30. And so I am outraged. I'm an employee at ESPN. So I mocked up and made my own 30 for 30 while being an employee at ESPN, threatening to sue ESPN. I'm going to play it for you right now.
What if I told you that I had an idea and sent it in an email to an ESPN executive? That the executive told me that my idea was good, but not good enough. That I moved on and suggested a dozen other projects and forgot about that original project. What if I told you that a year later, I found out online that the project ended up being good enough and that I was left out of it? That my attorney told me I have a pretty strong case. That the contract I just signed is nothing compared to what's coming my way. ESPN Films presents a 30 for 30 that I came up with that they have no intention of giving me any credit or money for.
There it is, Doc.
I love it. Very, you know what? Creative. Nice job, Stu. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc. But then they sat me down for the actual 30 for 30, the real 30. And Doc, they did a tremendous job. I mean, it was fantastic. They sat me down, Doc, and you know how these things go because you've been a part of them. I poured my heart and soul out 60 minutes talking about Mike and Chris, the effect they had on my life, and I got two lines in, Chris. I'm going to play both lines for you. Stanzik, play the first one for Chris. 60 minutes pouring my heart and soul out to you, Chris,
right.
And here's what they aired, okay? Right.
They're talking sports, going at it as hard as they can.
Funny, you know what? Creative. That is why you have had a hell of a, forget me for a minute, you're the one as a, you know, so-and-so sidekick who has had the year that, had the career that we need to focus in on. You do a great job with Dan. You're on Golic and Wingo all the time.
Yeah.
You have had a huge impact. We got a sidekick kid here in Babchek who follows you religiously.
Yeah.
You have had a tremendous impact in the last 10 years.
Well,
you're funny. You're irreverent. You say things that are a little goofy. You know what you're talking about to boot. And you've had some success. You do the TV. You do the radio. You're in a great place to live. Not bad. Not bad for a kid who grew up. What part of Long Island did you grow up in, by the way?
I grew up Port Washington, Doug.
Not bad. Where the Port Washington Tennis Academy was. And a great Harry Hopman and John McEnroe.
Ah.
So good for you. How old are you, too?
I am 47. I'm so glad. 47. We'll stay right here for a second because I want to tell you a quick tennis story. But I am 47, Doug. So, and yes, I'm telling you, the influence you and Mike had on me is the reason I'm here. So thank you for all the compliments, and perhaps we'll do that one day. Maybe I'll come on. Maybe you'll interview me about my career, dog. That would be funny.
You've had a you don't need me to do any interviewing. You've done a heck of a job. You've had a nice run here.
Right.
You know, Dan, I'm sure it takes care of you. That show's a hot show. You get TV as well, the radio. You got this little podcast going. You're on all over the place on ESPN. The world knows who you are. So that is a hell of a job. Give yourself some credit. 47 years of age.
Yep.
So that means when Mike and I started, you were about 15 or 16, right? A little younger than that.
16?
Yeah, that's about right. About 15 or 16.
Yep.
So you were a teenager. And when Mike and I began in 89, you know, you were a big sports fan in New York, and you latched on. You learned something. Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Clark University. Dog, I will tell you, I'll never forget the day I realized I wanted to be in this industry. My dad picks me up. He's driving me home from practice, and I'm eating a hot dog in the passenger seat of the car, and you two are on. And I'm like, Dad, they talk about sports the way we talk about sports. They sound like we sound. These aren't two athletes. Are they getting paid for this? My dad said, yeah, they're getting paid a lot. I said, that's what I want to do for a living, right there.
How about that?
Yep.
You were 17, whatever it be, 16 years of age.
Yeah.
And when did you move to Miami, by the way? And when did you start with Danny? Let me hear.
I moved 97 to Miami. My original position was the executive producer of the Hank Goldberg Show.
Go ahead.
Yep. And so Hank had one of the biggest shows like you guys did at the time back in the late 90s. And I parlayed that into, me and Dan doing the show together. So it's been a 17-year run, dog. And I know you know how hard these runs are to come by, but 17 years together, me and Lepitard.
And you've been, you run every day, what, 10 to 1, and then the TV, you do about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, so we did local 3 to 7 in Miami, and then they moved us 3 to 7 in the afternoons, ESPN Radio, and then 10 to 1 when Colin left to go to Fox. So
you do 10 to 1,
yep.
You did the afternoons, now you do 10 to 1, you have the TV. That's a nice day. In that great area to live, that is a nice day.
Doggy, I mean,
You live about 5 minutes from work. What's so bad about the Clevelander? A lot of that to kill you, Stu. A lot of that to kill you. Long way from Port Washington. Let's put it that way. Long way from the port.
And I'll tell you, Stanzik, what did I say to you on the drive home about Christopher Mad Dog Russo? That you haven't lived until you've talked about what with Christopher Mad Dog Russo?
I was surprised, but you said tennis.
All right, so Doggy, you led me right there. Port Washington Tennis Academy, Harry Hotman. And I'll tell you a quick funny story, Dog, and I've told John McEnroe this. So I lived about 7 houses down from Tony Palafax, and obviously you know that name, right?
All right, Tony coached McEnroe all those years. I sure do, yes.
So we used to hear this kid screaming, cursing, grunting, I mean, just in Tony's backyard because he had a tennis court. And so we lived in a very wooded area and places where we could hide, and we're like, we got to see who this kid is. And so we hide behind Tony's house behind trees watching this kid practice. And that kid who was cursing, who was screaming, you could hear from my house, but was also pounding the tennis ball. That kid, actually two of them, John McEnroe.
Yeah, John and Pat.
And Patrick. How about that?
And I'm sure his other brother, Mark, was throwing a racket around a little bit, too. He's got another brother who played.
Yes.
Very interesting. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, that is a hell of a run. Don't forget, Hotman was the Davis Cup team captain for Australia for all those years.
Right.
And he had a lot to do with Johnny Mack, too. Port Washington Tennis Academy was a hell of an academy, and he lived not too far away, and that is where he honed his game. And you lived right around the corner. That's a hell of a – good for you. So you got a lot of who'd you go – you met a Yankee fan growing up as a kid?
I am a Mets fan. Unfortunately, listen, I got Mets, Jets, Islanders, and unfortunately, we're all saddled with the Knicks.
You didn't get the Giants, and you didn't get the Yankees.
No.
You got the other end of it, and the Giants, of course, have had good success. The Yankees, have been great every year. You got the Mets, who are a mess. Yeah, you're going to have to live with that. You've had some run. In 86, you were 12 when they won it, right? How old were you when they won the championship?
I was 86. I was 14, born in 72. So I had, I had 86. I had a couple of World Series with the Mets. And then, of course, I had the great run with the Islanders in the mid-80s. So that's about it. I've had nothing else with any other team.
You remember those you remember those four cups of the Isles, 80, 81. You remember those cups. You were about 10 years old. You remember those cups. Okay,
of course,
very good.
Yeah. And the drive for five. Yeah, of course. I remember that like it was yesterday. dog. It was a good time. It was a bad, listen, I just told you the teams I'm a fan of, so that was the glory days of my fandom.
And the Islanders are getting better. They got the new arena coming, so, I mean, that will help ownership. They're a pretty competitive team. They got a good coach.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're not cup worthy necessarily, but they're competitive, and they're a factor, so you do like that. So you've had a hell of a run, and you get to Miami in 97. You've been with Dan ever since. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
not bad. Pretty good. Not bad.
Does Dan, now I don't listen because I don't get a chance and watching I'm on.
Right.
Does Dan, I'm sure he does. Does he let you do your thing every day?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, dog. 17 years together. I think the key to doing 17 years together is knowing your role, committing to the role. And listen, there are times where we're in my wheelhouse and Dan will let me go. And there are times I know we're in Dan's wheelhouse and I'll kind of lay out and let him go, you know? And so it works well for us.
Is it a 50-50 thing, or is it Dan Lieberfeld with Stu Gartz?
I love that you call him Lieberfeld. That's all. I'm going to call him Lieberfeld.
I don't know if you get the names wrong. You know me with the names.
No, but I know you, but that's why I love you. What do you mean? And I'm the same way. I'm the same exact way. Is it 50-50? I would say certain days, on a Knicks day like today, more 50-50. But it's the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gartz. So I'd say it's skew on a normal day, kind of 60-40 in that range.
I give you credit, though. That's not easy playing that role and finding a niche. That is hard.
Yep.
You know, with me and Mike, my name was in the namesake of the show, Mike and the Mad Dog, and it was theoretically not always, but it was supposed to be 50-50. So from that standpoint, I wasn't in that, that B role. I was, A and 1A.
Yes.
You've had a sort of bounce around from both 1 to 1A and the B role, and that is not that easy. And to be successful like you've been successful is hard. So that sometimes is even harder just being the main guy. So and give him credit, too, because his ego doesn't get in the way and he lets you shine. So you got to give him credit, too. It's not easy as a two-man team, especially in your case when it's not theoretically a 50-50 split. So it's not that easy, and you've worked it out. So there you go. What do you got to ask me here today?
I appreciate that, doggy. So I want to stay with tennis, doggy, because I know you love it. I love it as well. The Joker just wins the Australian Open, and I was telling Stanzik, our producer, you got to talk tennis with Dog. He's the best at it. I want Dog's greatest. Now, listen, this might be two very different answers, but the greatest tennis player of all time and your favorite tennis player of all time.
I think my favorite is Federer because I love the way he plays. I know most people, it's funny when they root for tennis players, they usually root for the best. They usually root for the number one player because, how many guys root for the 13th best player in a tournament? You usually root for the favorites. You don't always do that in the other sports. But Federer, because of the way he plays, the style that he plays with a lot of finesse. He can play the other way too. He's mastered every shot, the flair of his game. He's my favorite all-timer. Now, as far as the greatest player is concerned, this is the greatest era because of these three players. That's a very tricky argument. I think at times you can make the case for Laver. I know that Roy Emerson used to tell me that on his best day, he thought Lou Hoad was, who played in the late 50s, Lou Hoad the Aussie.
Yep.
So that is something that is interesting. And I didn't see him, so I can't go by that. Sampras obviously never won a French Open. I loved him too. I think at the end of the day, Djokovic, who doesn't play with that flair, he's a retriever to a degree. He's Gumby, the way he's so flexible. I think Djokovic might go down as the all-timer because I do think he's got the most majors. And his record against these two, Federer and Nadal, is unparalleled. I mean, he's owned the both of them in the last 5-6 years. So he might go down as the best of all time. I don't know. I think Laver's two Grand Slams go a long way. You got about 8 or 9 play. If you look at the all-time greats, and let's look at it from, say, 1960 forward. So let's eliminate the Frank Kramers, the Pancho Gonzalez's, the Bill Tildens. Let's eliminate those kind of players. Even Hoad. I mean, the top 10 would be Borg, McEnroe, Federer, Sampras, Djokovic, Nadal. That's 6.
You get the Agassi in there?
Agassi or Connors, all right. That's 8. You have to put Ken Rosewall in there, probably. That's nine. I mean, you know where we're going.
Yes.
I think the top five at the end of the day will be the three that are playing now. I think probably Laver and the top six are Borg, Sampras, Laver, and the three that are playing now. The bottom four and how you want to argue that would be Johnny Mack. And it's hard to put Johnny Mack in that level because he's so good. But Johnny Mack, he could be a little higher. But Mack, Agassi, Connors, you know, Lenda was a hell of a player. Emerson, Rosewall. That group would be the bottom half of the list. Top six, I think, Stu, when you can think about it, I think you can't separate. Borg won six of one, five of the other, French and Wimbledon. Laver won the two Grand Slams. He would have won a lot more than the 11 titles that he won if he wasn't a pro and he was an amateur. We know about Sampras. You can't argue that, despite no French Open. Fed's Fed. Djokovic is Djokovic, and Nadal is Nadal. Those six.
I love it. So now you know where I got my style from, Stanzik. Doggy, I love hearing you talk these things out on air because it's exactly what I do. Stanzik, you know where I got my style from now, right?
I know, yes, for one. Doggy, you gave him like 12 names there.
I did. I gave him 12 names for six spots, which is crazy. Remember, he's catching me off guard with that. This is spur of the moment, 2:20 on a Wednesday afternoon. Chris, who's your top 10 players of all time? Tennis, when I'm breaking down the Mookie Betts trade. So I'm not in the mode yet thinking of the tennis, but here's what I would say it. Djokovic, Nadal, and Fed, no matter what order that you want to put them in, have to be top five in the history of the sport.
Totally fair. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, 3 to 6 every day on Mad Dog Radio. Sirius XM has his own channel. Doggy, biggest celebrity, because I know you're a big tennis player, biggest celebrity that you have found yourself in a tennis match with. Anybody?
Well, I have played tennis with Johnny Mack in the past.
Okay.
I played a singles match with him once for charity, and I got him all annoyed because I talked about the Lendl match at the French Open in the middle of it when he had a 2-1 lead and a breakup in the fourth and lost at the French Open. Told me he never won, and then he proceeded basically to throw balls down my throat the next five or six games. But that one was a good one. I played with Vijay Amitrao once in doubles. That was a good one. I played, here's one that you'll like. I played with Vi Sikahema, the old eagle. And I forget the other two. But I played an exhibition doubles match at the Atlantic City Convention Center when Selish came back from her stabbing and played Navratilova in a 2-set exhibition. And I played doubles on that court prior. Did you know that?
No, did
you
know that? I did not know that.
I forget the other two. Jeez, how could I forget that? And there was one of them was Ron Johnson, and the old running back, and I forget the fourth. But I do remember playing doubles at the Atlantic Beach Convention Center when Sellers came back in 92 or 3 from that stabbing. That was a good one. Vijay Amitrao was a good one. Johnny Mack was a good one. P-Mack, who I'm pretty close to, used to have me drive over to and I was in a story with FAN. I used to go to a club, and he used to basically give me an hour of tennis lesson. Did you know that?
How could I know that? No, I did not.
Did you know that I had Patrick McEnroe come up to the New Canaan Field Club once to play doubles with the head pros and me? Did you know that?
I did not know that. No,
I did.
I'm wondering
Did you know once that I played doubles at the Eastside Tennis Pier down at South Street Seaport with Johnny Mack and P Mack against me and somebody else? Did you know that?
I did not know that, Doggy.
There you go.
And
did you also know that when Federer beat Cilic to win the Wimbledon in 2017, did you know that I called Pete Sampras up, and Pete Sampras left a message, and Pete came on that Monday, and the first thing he said, it was right after the 30 for 30, and said, "Dog, you're big time. I just saw that 30 for 30, and Pete was on at 3:05 when Fed won Wimbledon. Did you know that?
I did not know that, Dog.
Did you know that Rod Laver, a year or two ago, was in our studio in Astoria for an hour? Did you know that?
I did not know that, Dog.
There you go. So, and did you also know that in about 14 years ago, that I went to the John Newcomb tennis camp in Brunfels, Texas, with my buddy Mark DeWaley, and at that camp for 5 days, all sorts of tennis, Fred Staley, John Newcomb, Roy Emerson, Owen Davidson, all the old Aussies, week tennis camp. And I had beers every night with Newcomb for 5 days. Did you know that?
I did not know that, doggy.
There you go. There's my tennis scenario. How's that sound?
Listen, I'm waiting for my invite up to New Canaan. A little doubles, me and dog. How about that?
Why not? You and me, baby. You and me. I'll play the ad court. I got a good two-handed backhand. You serve first. How's that sound?
Doggy, I'm a good tennis player. You'll be happy with your doubles partner. I promise you that. I'm telling you right
good
now.
Good boy, Stu. Good boy. What else can you tell me? Go ahead.
All right. So, listen, I know you're short on time. I'll be quick with this, and I'm going to get you out of here. Springsteen, how many concerts have you been to?
You know, everybody asks me that. The first time I saw him was in 1978 at the Palace Theater in Albany. It may have been called the Capitol Theater at that time. They've changed the name. In Albany, New York, I was a senior in high school, and I went to a boarding school in New Lebanon, New York, which is about 30 miles away, and that was the second stop on the Darkness on the Edge of Town tour. Remember, he didn't do an album after Born to Run for like 3 years. He started in Buffalo, the next night in Albany, and that was the first time I'd ever seen him, was that night. I saw him later that summer at Madison Square Garden with a blind date. And I remember one time in 81, in January, I went to Lakeland, Florida, to put the bracelet on the wrist to wait all night because they were selling Springsteen tickets. I got him the next day on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m. waiting in line. You've heard those stories. Mm-hmm. I got the Springsteen tickets, and I saw him in Lakeland, Florida. This is in the River Tour in January of 81. And I have since gone back to look, and it tells you about the great Springsteen. Do you know where Springsteen was the night before that day that he played in Lakeland, Florida?
Where?
Starkville, Mississippi.
Wow.
At Mississippi State. Wow. So he went from Starkville to Lakeland, of all places, and I happened to see him there, which was a fascinating place to see him. Let's see. Where else? You name it.
Boston, dog, you have a relationship? Albany, dog, Doggy, do you have a relationship with him? Like, are you guys friends?
Relationship's a little strong.
Okay.
Okay. My wife, I don't remember what birthday it was. It may have been my 40th birthday. It was a birthday present. She got me 4 tickets, Bruce, at the Garden, and she tracked down John Landau, and she got me backstage passes.
Wow.
And I'm backstage with him. I hugged him 4 times. Did you know that?
I did not know that. 4 times, dog.
He couldn't believe it. I couldn't stop hugging him. 4 times.
Was he creeped out by the fourth one?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. There was another time that I saw him at Asbury Park. I saw him with Al Leiter.
Right.
And somebody else at the Asbury Park Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
This is after the Rising. I went backstage and we sat there. That was that weird tour. It's like 2,000 people. It was Christmas time. And I went backstage. And did you know we broke down a set that night? And
no.
I broke down his sets. That's pretty good when you're breaking down a set with Bruce Springsteen.
Oh,
only
God.
Had him on once. We had him on at the Super Bowl, Tampa. In Tampa, the Pittsburgh-Arizona game, because remember, he played halftime that year.
Yep.
And so we had him on at halftime. I had him, they put all the serious people in a separate room, and Bruce and the band came in, and I had him on for about 15 minutes, which was prearranged. You know, Bruce, you're going to do Mad Dog. I had just gotten a serious, and at that time, they cared about me, so they made sure they wanted to pep me up. Since then, they could care less. But back in those days, they cared, and they pep me up with them. But Springsteen, you know, I probably have seen him. I don't know if it's the amount of times as it is the length.
Right.
Since 1978 now, I mean, that's 41 years.
Yeah.
So I have seen Bruce live in a variety of formats. I've also seen him solo for 41 years. That's pretty good.
That's
you
very
were
good.
Six when I, you were six.
Yes.
1978 when yep. I saw Bruce for the first time.
I will tell you though, doggy. We know a lot of people. Evan Cohen, Babs, Adam Shines. We got a lot in common. I will tell you this: my wife, 40th birthday, She got me a doggy. I'm telling you, we have more in common than you think. 40th birthday, two tickets, me and my wife, Fenway Park, Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great show. I didn't go backstage and then hug him four times, but I saw the show. It was great.
Dave, good for you. I remember my oldest, who's 21, who goes to the University of Tampa. Mm-hmm. I got him into Springsteen. I took him to a couple shows when he was 10 years old. My other kids could care less, but I got him into that. And when the movie came out, the Western Star, you know, the Western Stars, the thing he did on his last album, he left. He doesn't have a car at Tampa. He found the movie theater somewhere in Tampa. This is probably in November to go see the movie by himself. And that's a good. He did. Bruce did a good movie, good documentary there. And that makes me feel good that my 21-year-old, that's young.
Yeah.
Is into Bruce so much that he will go, a college kid on a Sunday would go out of his way by himself to go see that. So at least I had some good influence on him as far as Bruce is concerned. But so Springsteen and tennis are two good things for you and me. All right, what else? Let me hear.
All right, two good things. And well, listen, we're going to finish right here because I know you have your show to do and I want to get you out of here and I want you to get prepared for the Mookie Betts trade. We're going to play a quick game with you, dog, and then I have a I have a bucket list question I have to ask you at the end, and then we'll get you out of here, okay?
Very quick game.
The name of the game is simple. It's Mike or Chris, okay? Yep. Mike or Chris. Who's the better singer, Mike or Chris?
Mike.
Really? Mike's a good singer, huh?
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, he's got a good deep voice. When Mike, he did a great version of Meet the Mets, which is a famous version that we did with Bob Euster one year on the radio at WFAN. He has a good voice. Go ahead. Next.
Better at golf, Chris or Mike?
Oh, Chris. Mike stinks.
Who would win a game of horse, Chris or Mike?
Probably Chris. We're both not any good. Stephon Curry's got nothing to worry about. But that's a tough one. I remember the Super Bowl in 90 in Minnesota. No, it was 92 in Minnesota. That was the Buffalo Redskins Super Bowl. We stayed at a hotel, that famous, there's a big hotel there, the Hyatt, that is adjacent to a gym. And in those days, you know, Mike and I were very tight, and we played basketball every day before the show. And lo and behold, for a week, and after that game, we had our first big fight that didn't talk for 3 months. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
You did not know that?
No. No.
92. How old were you then? About 18?
92. I was 20 years old. I mean, a big fight.
Where'd you go to college? Where'd you go to college against?
Clark University up in Worcester, Massachusetts.
In Worcester, Massachusetts. Yeah. That's a good school, Clark. That's a good school. Yeah, all right, what else? School. Go ahead.
Who would win a game of Monopoly, Mike or Chris?
Mike's a little more aggressive. You got to be aggressive in that game. I'll say Mike.
All right. Now, Chris, I want to say, like, my feeling on this one, and Stanzik loves Jeopardy, okay? My feeling is that most people would say Mike. Chris, I know you have read a million books, so I'm going to say Russo here. Who would win in a game of Jeopardy, Mike or Chris?
A lot of it would depend on the categories. Mike is very, very smart with old-time stuff. But I'm good with the presidents. I'm good with the war, with wars, you know, World War One, World War Two.
Yep.
I'm good with the movies and certainly with sports. So I think I got a chance to win that. How's that?
All right. Who would have been the better mayor of New York City, Mike or Chris?
Mike's a little bit more cutthroat than me. I think you got to be a good mayor. You have to be you got to be cutthroat. So Mike would be a better mayor.
All right,
I want to please too many people. He'd be better at that. Go ahead.
Two more. We'll get you out of here. Bigger tipper, Mike or Chris?
Oh, Mike's a huge tipper. Mike, if you are so lucky that you get Mike in West Palm Beach at a diner for breakfast, you're going to have to not have to be a waitress or a waiter for a long time. He'd give you a tremendous tip. I'm a pain in the ass. I'd give you no more than 15%. You may continue.
Dog, come on. 15%, dog.
No, I'm better than that. I'm kidding. I'm better. Go ahead.
All right. Last one, Dougie. Who spends more time on the dance floor at weddings, Mike or Chris?
Oh, Christopher.
Christopher. You tear it up, don't you, Doug?
No, I don't know about tearing it up. John Travolta in Grease, I'm not. But I mean, I used to really get into it. Matter of fact, my wife made me do Arthur Murray dance lessons before I got married. That hasn't really stuck, but from that standpoint, I would say Christopher. Go ahead. What else?
All right. All right, we're good. Christopher Mad Dog Russo headlines his own 24/7 channel, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM. You can hear him weekdays from 3 to 6 on Sirius XM, Channel 82. He is a legend. And Chris, I appreciate the time. I have one final question before we go. It's more of a request because I'm gross and I'm incapable of doing this podcast without asking a favor of my guest. Okay?
Go ahead. Yep.
Hey, listen, this is bucket list stuff. I have a feeling you're going to say no, but I promise you, if you ask Babs, Evan Cohen, Adam Schein, you ask Danny Cannell, all of them, dog, I have every single one of them will tell you it's a good idea. Bucket list stuff here. Okay? 30 years I poured into you guys, all right? 20 years. However long you were on the air, I was there every goddamn day, dog, listening at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
I want to co-host a show with Dog before it's all said and done. That's it. That's all I want to do.
That's a done deal. I promise. That can happen.
Yes!
Easy.
Yes!
Easy. That's an easy one. Pick a day, get up here. No, I'm not going to go down there, but no, I would go down there for you. You pick a day, and you come up here, and you can definitely co-host. That is a guarantee.
All right, Doggy, I'll do you one. And if you like that one, we'll do a home and home. I'll come there and do it with you. And if you want to come down and do it with us at ESPN,
you know what? Write that down. I would definitely do that. That is not an issue whatsoever. That is a done deal.
I love it. Doggy,
all you got to do is call Fitzpatrick. He does nothing else. Andy Fitzpatrick, the PR person at Sirius. And he will set that up, and I will do that. That is an easy one. Of course I would. You good.
I love it.
You and I have some laughs. As long as you promise, you're not going to make me feel my age and bring up a talk show from 1994. As long as you promise me that.
Did I do a good job of it today?
Yes, you did.
All right.
By the way, I wanted your buddy on there at the Super Bowl, and I didn't get him. There we go.
I'll give you
the home and home. Yep. You got to get him on the air with me for a half hour one day.
It's a done deal, but I don't have to bring him to the home and home, right? Because
the home and home is about you.
Right. You want him 15, 30 minutes on the phone. Trust me, you don't want to hang around Levitar for 3 hours, okay? That's it, dog. Trust me.
And you've been doing it for 20 years. You would know. Good boy. Still a good job. Keep me posted, pal.
All right. Check him out 3 to 6 p.m. on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio every day. Chris, I appreciate the time, and this was fun. Thank you.
You got it, pal.
Stupidity.
Stanzik, I got to tell you, man. First off, I am glowing. Where's Mikey C?
You need a cigarette?
I don't need a cigarette. I need a carton of cigarettes. Gee, I just had sex with Russo.
I swear, you guys hugged like 8 times on the way out. It was like more than him and Bruce.
How about that? Home and home. I mean,
wow.
You know where I failed is, and listen, I had to read the room, right? Because I had two requests. I thought he had a better friendship with Springsteen than he gave off. I was going to ask him to get Springsteen to shake Seth Markman's hands to get me onto NFL Countdown. How about that?
Yeah, there's always another angle, and we'll find a way to do that. We don't need Mad Dog for that.
Baby steps, baby steps. No. Now I have a home and home with Mad Dog. I'm co-hosting the show with him on Sirius XM. He's coming down here co-hosting the show with me on ESPN Radio. I got to get him Levitard as a guest, which I will, but Mad Dog and I are going to play tennis. So somewhere within all of that, I will get to the Bruce conversation with him, okay?
Okay, yeah, and you told Mad Dog you're a great tennis player. There's no way you're a great tennis player.
No, I'm a written Stanzik. If we had Abby here, and she hasn't been here in 50 episodes, she killed the first two, though. If we had her here, she would absolutely tell you that I am a phenomenal tennis player. Really good, Stanzik.
When's the last time you played?
Oh, probably like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. No
joke.
Really? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. My daughter beat me 6-3. Stupidity.